Leaders are all around us at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Superintendent of Robinson ISD, Michael Hope. Nan Holmes hosts today's conversation. This program was recorded April 6, 2017 in the KWBU studio.
And Dr. Michael Hope, welcome to Central Texas Leadership Series. You and I have known each other because I'm a member of the board of the Robinson Education Foundation, and you have been such a strong supporter since day one. My motivation was my two grandsons, but I know that you have a deep love for the Robinson School District. Yes. There's no doubt in my mind as we go into this interview, you do. But tell us a little bit about your path to the superintendent's office and your early years, and what was your, was this always your goal?
A goal as superintendent? Well, I can tell you I grew up in a family that was not education. It was business and farming, and but I can tell you I can remember the exact day in seventh grade when I decided I want to be a coach and teacher, and never thought of anything else since then. And so I was able to come to Baylor. I'm from Bonham, Texas, Northeast Texas, and came to Baylor, went straight through, got my bachelor's and did my master's. And then I began my career at Midway. I did my first 2 years at the middle school after I student taught there, and then went 1 year at Mahaia and the last 22, now at Robinson.
Wow.
So, you know, really what I looked at is, again, I knew I wanted to coach and teach. I wanted to be someone that had an impact on students, because I have been so blessed to have people that have invested in me.
Mm-hmm.
As far as going into administration, I was asked by one of the principals, hey, have you ever thought about administration? I said, well, of course not. But they convinced me, said, hey, you might want to look at it. And so I became assistant principal at the high school at Robinson, which at some point led to being the principal, and I tell you what, I absolutely love that job. The one thing about being a campus principal is you're there with your students, and that's just, it's just always great to be on that direct contact with your students. And when Jim Smith, another great friend and mentor to me, when he retired in 2003, I was lucky enough, to be hired as a superintendent. And so I've been there so it's going my 14th year there as superintendent.
Wow, that seems like a long time.
Yes.
But, and along the way, I'm sure you had some stops and starts, but you just kept trying, looking to improve and to move forward, it sounds like, since you started.
Well, I don't know if it's that. God has blessed me. I think I have been placed in roles that he knows that I'm going to take full responsibility for, and I'm going to do the best I can. As from seventh grade till now, I'm here to serve. And I think that's what you see from educators, is they go into the career and the profession because they want to serve others, and they want to make that impact that their teachers and educators had on them.
Well, I know that is certainly true. And really, when I look at the superintendent's job, I see it so multi-layered. And do you still feel that the serving comes first, even though you're the superintendent, you're not the high school principal, your first priority?
Well, I think as a superintendent, you should be the number one servant. It's not about the role or the person. I think anytime we're there, we're a team. And from our custodial staff, our food service staff, our teachers, our support staff, administrators, we're all a team. So it doesn't matter about the superintendent. That person better be the number one server of the district. And so I look at the role as one that needs to do everything I can to make sure that we have the resources, that we have the right staff, that we have the best we can offer our students. And because it's improving our community and eventually improving our state.
I agree with that. But can you think of a really hard decision you've had to make I know you had to struggle with the bond issues, but maybe that wasn't the hardest thing you've ever had to do.
No. I mean, and again, when you're in education, you're trusting each other. You're establishing relationships with your staff. The worst thing I ever have to do is when I have to make decisions that adversely affect our staff or students. And that would be where we have to ask people that, you know, you're no longer going to be here at our school or our district. And then with students, you know, when we have to expel them. The problem is you know you're having to do the right thing, but it doesn't matter. It makes you physically sick because you know you're impacting a person's life. Yes, it's probably going to be positive for them down the road, but you know at that moment it's making a real struggle for them and for me. I know they may not think that, but it does. It makes you physically sick when you have to do something that changes a person's life.
Well, I would believe that you try everything you can possibly do to avoid that kind of scenario.
Oh, yes.
But their true leadership means at some point you know what you have to do, whether it does make you physically ill or not.
Well, and the way I look at it is one of the things about being the superintendent. Yes, it's a team. But I have to be the one that takes on the roles that no one else should have to. And if there's going to be criticism, I want it coming my way, not toward the rest of the staff. And again, I have the ultimate responsibility, so I expect to have to make those decisions and not put it off on someone else.
Well, I think that requires a whole lot of courage someday. And when I look at not just the superintendent, but the whole district, I see a complex organization.
Yes.
In fact, when I moved here in 1989, I was blown away that there were 18 school districts in one county.
Yes.
Because I'm from Louisiana, it's one parish,
That's
one
right.
school district. And tell us a little about, help us to see what some of the challenges are that you have to call on your leadership to manage the school district and then the bigger county issues of all the school districts.
Correct. You know, as far as individual school districts, and I probably can speak for all of those mm-hmm. other districts in the area, you know, the school finance is always one of the toughest things that we do. The thing is, people, and I know they do realize it, that whatever it is we have, we're going to make do with, and we're going to do our best to make the best decisions for our students, provide the best resources. But you do see areas of need. We want to make sure that all the students that need extra help, need intervention, that we're able to provide that. So when we look at funding, that's more of the area you see it in, is we want to make sure that we're able to support all the different levels of learners that we have, because it's becoming even more diverse in sometimes the disabilities or just the enrichment part. As far as the group that I get to work with in this county, they're phenomenal. And I think anyone knows in a leadership type position, there's not a lot of people out there that you can talk to. It's kind of lonely. But I have a great, great working relationship with all these fantastic superintendents in the area. In fact, we do meet at Region 12 and talk about things, but we also have a little informal get-together mm-hmm. for just, we call ourselves the Greater Waco Area Superintendents, and it doesn't matter the size, it just has to do with the ones right around here. And we are able to bounce ideas off each other. What issues are you having in your district? What things are you dealing with? And when you have that collective knowledge and the collective experience, it really does help out, and especially looking from all the different areas, from rural, like we have Crawford and Bosqueville, and then all the way up to, of course, George and Bonnie at Midway and mm-hmm. Waco. So we have a lot of experience and also a lot of diverse thinking.
Well, I think that's a great way to try to not hold on to just your district and
right.
your territory, and this is my school district, and you stay away.
Now, we do that when it's athletics. And every once in a while, you know, we'll say a few things to each other when one staff member may go to another district.
Oh.
You know, we may give each other a hard time then. But they really are a fantastic group to work with. And one of the speakers, a guy, his name's George Kuros, has a book called Innovator's Mindset. I've heard him speak several times, read mm-hmm. the book, and it's great. But one of the things he starts with, I think we're in a room of about 300 people one time. He said, "Who's the smartest person in the room?" And of course, luckily nobody stuck their hand up. I was glad to see. But he said, "The room." He said, "It's the collective knowledge that you have there." And I think that's one of the things that as a leader, as a teacher, whatever, you need to use. Because when you're in a room in front of students, it would be nice to know or think that we knew everything, but we don't. You have so many different people that have so many valuable insights and opinions that they can share with us.
Oh, I think that's a great story because that's something you can remember easily. Who's the smartest person in the room?
It's the room.
That is a great way to describe it because I think that being a superintendent, sometimes people expect you to know everything.
Right. Oh, yes.
And they may expect you to agree with them on everything.
Exactly. And you know, we try to make sure that we, I guess let me back up. One of the very most important things that you need to do as leader or anyone is be a great listener. When someone comes to talk to you, they're not there to hear what you have to say. And I've had to remind myself of that because as you've been experienced, you know you've been in all those different situations. You go, "Oh, I know the answer to that." That's not what they want you to listen to them. And I think if you listen to that person, you're going to find out what's the real issue, whether it be a problem or a solution, and that helps you in making the best decision.
I think that's right because real listening, most of us, and I had to learn through touch points training, that you're just waiting to talk.
Exactly.
You're trying to think of everything in your mind that you can say, and you're not really, but they have an exercise where someone tells you a story and you have to repeat it, and that really makes you realize listening well is a very hard thing to do sometimes.
That's right.
We're all guilty of that. Those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Nan Holmes, talking today with Dr. Michael Hope, superintendent of Robinson ISD. Other than building some schools, what are some things you've seen in the last 5 to 10 years that have really changed about schools?
Well, I think you see across the nation and the state that you see a lot more use of our technology that helps. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't see technology as something that replaces a teacher, replaces a textbook. To me, it's just another resource.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a valuable resource because that's what our kids are using. They're used to that. When we grew up,
yeah,
I had that Apple IIe at a high school, and I thought that was the best thing in the world. But their phones do much more than that now. But one of the things that we've done is we have a Chromebook initiative. I know some districts do iPads and different things mm-hmm. like that. We found that through surveying our students and our staff that Chromebooks would be more useful because they automatically update as soon as you're hooked up to the internet. And so we've been able to do that through fourth grade, from fourth grade to 12th grade. Next year we'll move it on down, so we'll have second through 12th, and then the following year we'll have it all the way down from kindergarten through 12th.
My goodness.
Well, our board has done a fantastic job of working with our technology director, all of our staff, and looking at plans. Not just, hey, let's try this year, but look at planning on what really can make an impact. The main thing, though, that when you do that, our kids know. I mean, they can know within a few minutes how to run everything. But we had to make sure that we provide the training for our staff. Because I think that's vital in what you need to make sure your staff's comfortable with it. As we all know, if we're not comfortable with it, we kind of shy away from it. So our staff really has done a good job of preparing our teachers, and our teachers do such a great job of wanting to do something different, wanting to make sure that they make an impact on the kids. So I think you see the technology area, that's one area. The other thing that I love that I see at different schools, but I'm very happy with our elementary schools that they've started. They started the GRIT program. And, you know, a lot of times you see, I'm going to be ugly about my son. I'd go in there and he'd be playing, this was many years ago, but he'd be playing the Madden game on mm-hmm. Xbox. And all of a sudden I see he's getting beat on it. I come back in a few minutes later, it's a new game. I go, what'd you do? He goes, well, I was getting beat, so I started over. I said, no, you finished the game. And I think I'd give him a hard time about that, but what I like about that GRIT program is showing our students, and they are excited about it. My daughter is wearing her GRIT shirt today, is, you know, sometimes it's not going to be easy. You have to work hard to achieve those great goals or great things. And so I love that, and I see that as a great thing to move forward.
How long have you had that program?
This is just the first year of GRIT. They've been working on similar themes, I guess, the past couple of years. But this is the real full GRIT program this year.
Well, it sounds something really important for in the electronic age for a young person to learn right. how to stick with the game.
And then I
think it's good to see technology with understanding that some people are afraid of it
right.
and won't even admit it. I know I am intimidated by lots of, I'll admit it, but sometimes people just try to pretend they know what's going on.
That's
and
right.
I think that's very good to recognize that in you've got a very large staff to keep your eyes open. I think you're doing a good job of trying to assess what their level, mm-hmm. because most children are very proficient.
Yes, they are.
And there are not many who don't have smartphones or ways or tablets or that kind of.
Well, and this isn't on a negative side, but this is just a reality that all of us in all of our districts are having to deal with. The other thing with technology is we also make sure that we are trying to teach our students the proper ways of using it, what to safeguard themselves, you know, with mm-hmm. predators and all these other things out there. You know, it's not just about using the technology. It's about being a good citizen and also making sure you're safe.
I think that's great. Well, the Texas legislature is
they are in session.
And I guess there's no school district exempt from their decisions.
No, there isn't.
Do you see any big issues for Robinson?
Well, again, we'll look and see how they do with the school finance bill. Of course, the education savings grants or accounts or whatever you want to call it, it's a voucher type bill. Anything where the public school system has not been fully funded previously and it doesn't look like it, they're planning on doing it again. However, they have a system where they might want to take that money away from some of the school districts. You know, I want to make sure that we're providing the best education for our kids. That's what we're employed to do so. I think that's what our communities expect us to do. So we expect the legislature to do the same thing, to give mm-hmm. that full support. So I see that as one of the issues. I think one of my jobs, I hope it doesn't sound negative, but I think one of my jobs is to protect our students and our staff from all the junk that may be trying to hit our community. Sometimes that's through legislation. You know, we're going to still do everything we're supposed to. But sometimes you have to make sure that you are doing the best for our community because that's what we're supposed to be doing.
I think that's a very good goal for any superintendent to have. Even though you work with other school districts, do you seem to see anything that's unique to Robinson? And what do you all have in common?
Well, we all have in common, we're all passionate for our kids and our communities.
I believe that.
And we're actually passionate for the Waco area. We are in a fantastic place. Now, I can tell you, I came to Baylor from northeast of Dallas, and I thought, as soon as I get out of here, I'm never coming back to Waco. Well, I've never left. So it is a fantastic area to raise kids, to live, to enjoy all the things that we have. As far as Robinson, what I love about Robinson, I love our people. Of course, that's the number one thing. You can't stay in a place that long, and you see so many people out there that have been out there so long without having fantastic people that you live by or work with or get to know. But we have kind of a urban feel because we're right beside Waco, but we also have part of the rural feel. So I think we have mm-hmm. a good mixture. We have a lot of hardworking people, and they just want what's best for their kids, and we want to try to make sure that we help them improve also.
Well, you know, because I have two grandsons at Rosa, I'm on those campuses a lot.
Yes, you are, and we're very glad you are.
And I have never, ever not been welcomed or helped. That's one thing I love about the attitude, and I'm sure a lot of that comes down from the top. But if you were talking to a new superintendent, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that in your group, we're going to have one in WSD who's
That's
not
right.
new,
right.
but he's new to Waco and yep. McLennan County. Do you have any elevator speech or advice or things you'd like to share, or do you sort of wait and see what if they're open?
Well, I tell you what, the very first thing you need to do is to know your community. Learn every single thing you can about your community, because that's who you're serving. You're serving the kids, but you're serving that community.
Yeah.
You want to know what their values are, you know, what their vision is for their kids. So one thing you need to know as much, meet as many people, I was lucky. I had already coached and taught mm-hmm. and been a principal and stuff, so I knew a lot of the people. The other thing is, love, love, love. I mean, really, that's what you need to be doing in this position. That's the number one trait, I think, as a superintendent, is it's not that you know everything, but you make sure that you are reaching out and caring for every individual. To me, the responsibility as a superintendent, whether new or veteran, is you're there to care about every single person. That just doesn't mean, hey, I'm going up there and doing a certain time and going home. Whatever happens, whatever's happened with your kids, I think you need to be a part of, because it is just like an extension of my family. Unfortunately, probably my wife would say sometimes they take priority over my own family, and I do apologize for that, but I really do think they're a part of my family, and I'm excited when they have successes. I'm, you know, sad when they have struggles or they have tragedies. It's bad. The other thing is, again, don't get into a trap, because I think a superintendent or a leadership role has the trap of kind of a self-reliance or isolation. That would be your biggest mistake. Because, again, you don't know everything. Even though you have great ideas, you don't know everything, and you don't know everything about the place you're at. So make sure that you do make those relationships. You work on those relationships, not only within your district, but outside of it.
Well, when I think of a good example of Robinson is coronation.
Oh, yeah.
And I always tell this story over and over again, that when Jacob was in coronation, his dad, Jason, said, "You need to go early and park, because you're not going to be able to get in." And I thought, oh, sure. In Robinson, we'll be able to go. Well, That's we right. had to park like a mile away and walk, tromp up there as fast as we could. And every year since then, and I've attended quite a few of the coronations,
yes.
it's filled with parents and children and grandparents and proud people
right.
who really, that's their community,
the
and they come out amazing, and at the ball games and at different things, the band, the athletic booster club,
yes.
lots of parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles come out to support things at Robinson.
When I was being interviewed for coaching and teaching at Robinson, Tom Garrick was the principal at the high school. Had a chance to work with him forever, too. Fantastic. But he said, "Let me tell you about Robinson. We do a lot with a little, and we still do that."
Yeah.
The other thing is, he says, our parents and our community support everything our kids do. He said, if we're playing marbles 100 miles away, we'll have our parents there watching our kids play marbles. And, you know, there are times that when I was coaching, and of course I saw it as an administrator too, but we would go to out-of-town games. And I'm sitting there looking in the visitor stands, and I'm looking at the home stands and going, how do we have more people at an away game than they do at a home at their home? And I just think that's a great testament to the family atmosphere that Robinson has. Of course, I also say that, you know, we have the motto, Rockets Never Quit.
I have that written down.
Oh, yeah. Rockets Never Quit, and it applies to everything. We have a little girl, PJ, that is going through cancer, our kindergarten kid, and she is a spark plug. I'm telling you what, she is a fantastic kid, and she is definitely a good example of Rockets Never Quit, because she's going to take care of that cancer.
Well, I think that I just personally think it's a great slogan, because just the words never quit, correct, to just to implant it from the time you come to school, don't quit.
That's right.
Like the example you're giving about you're going to play the game to the very end, but also don't quit. And I think that builds on the idea at Robinson, you won't have to quit. There are going to be a lot of people who are standing by you,
yes,
who will be helpful for you.
That's right.
Is there anything else you can think that you would like to share about to people who are out there listening thinking, oh, I could never do that job. I can't. I'm just a struggling high school teacher. I don't even think I could be a principal.
Well, James Linneman, who just was named he'll be taking over for Kevin Houchin at McGregor. He's a 1986 Robinson High School graduate.
Uh-oh.
But James also worked at Robinson. He was our junior high principal as a superintendent. And when I called him, I said the same thing everybody told me. Congratulations and condolences. He goes, why is everybody saying that? I said, because it's true. It is one of the fantastic things to do, to be able to make sure that you are trying to take care of support and putting the right people in places. But it's also one of the toughest and loneliest jobs, too. So you have to be willing to have that grit that we're trying to teach all mm-hmm. of our kids to keep going. But it makes it very easy when you look at the faces of our kids and you know why you're doing what you're doing. That makes it easy. Because when I go, and I hate to say it this way, I know all those high schoolers are not going to come up and hug me and stuff when I go down the hallways. But if you have a bad day, go down to your primaries or elementaries, and when those kids are giving you high fives and hugs, you know God put you in this position, and you're going to do everything you can to help them.
Well, to try to put some wrap on this, I want to ask you, who, when you look back over all your years, who do you think had the most influence on you and why?
Oh, goodness. I've been blessed because I think there's been so many people that have different influences mm-hmm. on me. Now, to begin with, my parents, one, they taught me never quit. My dad said, you start anything, you're finishing it.
That's
and,
great.
And, of course, my grandfather also said, if it's on your plate, you have to finish it, too. That's probably been a bad thing for me. But my mom and dad, I was the first one to get a four-year degree out of my family, but my dad had, while he was working, got his associates in business. After my wife and I had already had some kids, my mom finished her bachelor's and her master's. Mm-hmm. So I got to see examples of the don't quit and the persevere and to work hard from them. But I can tell you anywhere from my first grade teacher, Mrs. Sledge, she sent me a postcard from Greece the summer after I had first grade. I have that postcard in my Aww. Desk right now because I just – it made an impact on me. She cared about me, not just what she was teaching me. So I've had been blessed by that. So I want to say my parents, but, you know, Mr. Smith, my head coach from high school, Coach Clark, there's just so many of them. But if I look at it, they mainly had to come from school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been blessed, and I want that. That's the type of staff, and I think we are very lucky, not just in Robinson, but our whole Central Texas area, that we have people out there that are really wanting to, that care about our students and want to make their life better.
Yes, I think we all never know when someone can become a hero.
That's right.
Most of the time, you have no idea. And so when you've got a whole philosophy of trying to be a hero to a child, I think that works very, very well. Thank you so much for coming in. It's been such a pleasure just to sit down and talk with you, Michael. I really applaud you for the hard work that you do at Robinson.
Well, thank you very much, but just know that it is our staff that makes our district great, and I'm very, very happy to serve there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This program was recorded April 6, 2017 in the KWBU studio.